reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter and John were going up to the temple area for the 3 o'clock hour of prayer, and a man crippled from birth was carried and placed at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate every day to beg for alms from the people who entered the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. But Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." He paid attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise and walk." Then Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles grew strong. He leaped up, stood, and walked around, and went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the one who used to sit begging at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with amazement and astonishment at what had happened to him. The word of the Lord.
Rejoice, O ox, that seek the Lord. Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but they did not see." And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted it to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Verbum Domini.
Laus tibi Christe.
These two disciples on the road to Emmaus were still in shock over the death of Jesus. They were still stunned at the way Jesus died. No, they were the sadness, they had a certain sadness over them, and even a numbness. And so they were very focused on their own doubt, you know, questioning themselves, debating, discussing what's really happening here. And then hearing of the news that he has risen, but yet still not fully believing that Jesus had rose again. And then Jesus appears to them. There he is, present among them. And they don't even realize it. And brothers and sisters, you know, we who are living a life for Christ, striving to be holy people, people of God, you know, sometimes, you know, life is not fair. You know, life is difficult. There are many struggles, many hardships. And we can often get too focused on these things that we forget the promises of God. We forget that what was prophesied in the scripture, what Jesus spoke to us, and the work that he does in and through us through the cross and through the power of his resurrection. So here we have these two men in Emmaus, walking and Jesus appearing to them. No, they were in a state of doubt. And then they recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. So here we see together Jesus, who is speaking the word to them, was telling them about the teachings of the prophets and Moses and how, you know, what would take place for the Messiah. And then, you know, they're there, they invite him to stay with them, and he goes among them, and then he breaks bread. No, and then that's where they recognized him. And what does this remind us of? Here you have the word of God. Here you have the breaking of the bread. Jesus present in the breaking of the bread. Well, that should all bring to mind the Holy Mass, the sacred liturgy we celebrate here. And here in the liturgy, as we know, we have what's called the Liturgy of the Word, then the Liturgy of the Eucharist. And so this is what we're seeing very early on, the Word, the Eucharist. And there, brothers and sisters, God is truly present in the Word, in the Eucharist. They go together. And this should give us all hope. Now, when we go to Holy Mass, many times we expect something, and we should expect something. We should come with expectant faith. No, and sometimes we don't come with anything at all. We come merely out of obligation. Well, I need to go to Mass, or else, you know, then I'll have to go to confession. You know, I have to do this. And that shouldn't be our intention there. We should be prepared to come to Mass. And even like if we are like these men here who are suffering from the trauma they experienced at the death of Jesus. Now, we all are going to have something, some kind of cross to carry, some kind of difficulty in our life. But we can't let those hardships of life bring us to doubt or get us in such a way where we're so self-focused or self-absorbed. Know that we forget about God's power. So, you know, when we come to Mass, there's many ways we can prepare. Of course, by our prayer, by speaking from our heart, by coming in expectation, because here Jesus in the liturgy of the word. He's present and he's going to speak to us. And then his real presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity, we will receive. And there will be grace. There will be communion with Jesus. So we come here and we've got to remember that Jesus, that through the power of his grace, that through the work of the cross, there is also the resurrection. And there in the cross, there is transformation. Okay, that we, as St. Paul says, we go from glory to glory to glory. See, it is through the cross that we, of course, come to unite ourselves with the Lord, that we are strengthened by him who carried a cross before us. Know that there he brings about a sanctification, you know, but this could be unification. So that's the way we got to see it, so that when we come here at Mass, we give it to him, we bring it to him. We hear the word and says, okay, I've heard the word, and it could strengthen, bring so much strength. And then we knowing that Jesus is there present, knowing that we can be strengthened by this word of God, that we hear of his promises that are reminded, that are brought to us. And then, you know, we have after the word, you know, there's the intentions, the prayers of the faithful. Well, this is the time we bring them to God. And then there's the offertory, where, of course, we're offering ourselves, we're offering our gifts before the Lord. There it is. And we offer it to him. We give it to him. And then he is fully present. You know, there is what we call the Paschal Mystery, the representation of Calvary. Jesus here, you know, the crucified Lord. And then, you know, as we do that, then we receive the Holy Eucharist. Well, the Holy Eucharist, there is Jesus himself coming inside of us. So here we have the Paschal Mystery here at the Mass. The Word of God. You know, there, the life of Jesus. Then he, you know, the representation of Calvary, the giving of Jesus, giving of himself for us. And then now he's made fully present here in the Eucharist. We come to receive it. And here is a grace, the grace of resurrection. See, and then we are strengthened once again. And so this is perfect opportunity to unite ourselves with the Lord when we come to Holy Mass. See, that's what we got to think. That's how we can prepare ourselves. Is okay, first of all, you know, you're speaking to the Lord, you're in your own personal prayer, giving him everything, saying, what am I going to hear today? I'm going to give it all to him. He's going to give himself to me. This would be the high point of our week where we fill up. Now, there are some of us who are blessed, you know, we can come to Mass every day, but many of us can't. You know, you have jobs, you're going to school, maybe you're taking care of kids, you're homebound. You know, of course, you can pray spiritual communions. It's good that you watch Holy Mass. You can give yourself through the Holy Mass, hear the word. Again, do a spiritual communion. You know, that's wonderful. Those are powerful things. And so, brothers and sisters, that God, who does a great work within us, you know, this life with him, this Christian life, it is about transformation. You know, it is becoming more Christ-like. But to become more Christ-like, there needs to be a cross. You know, then there's the resurrection, then the glory to glory. And this will happen over and over again as we walk with the Lord. And here is the transformation. And this gives us great hope. Because what is this ultimately doing? Is it's bringing us closer to Jesus. You know, it's helping us to know him more deeply, more intimately. And it's making us more like Jesus. So that here, you know, here we're coming to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he is pouring love on us through his word, through the Holy Eucharist. And there we should really know that we're loved by him because of what he has done for us and what he gives us. And then with this love, You know, with the graces we receive, walking in faith, we strive to go out there and be the light of his presence everywhere, loving God with all our heart, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. That is how it's done there. You know? So, you know, we look to Jesus now, and we trust that whatever cross we carry, that he is going to do great things through this, and that through this cross, he gives us everything so that we can share in his life and death, but also his resurrection. Glory be to God. God bless you all.